This is my father, Mrs. Baines.
Undershaft comes from the table, taking his hat off with marked civility.
Try what you can do with him. He won't listen to me because he remembers what a fool I was when I was a baby.
She leaves them together and chats with Jenny.
Have you been shown over the shelter, Mr. Undershaft? You know the work we're doing, of course.
The whole nation knows it, Mrs. Baines.
No, sir. The whole nation does not know it, or we should not be as crippled as we are for want of money to carry our work through the length and breadth of the land. Let me tell you, there would have been rioting this winter in London but for us.
You really think so?
I know it. I remember 1886, when you rich gentlemen hardened your hearts against the cry of the poor. They broke the windows of your clubs in Pall Mall.
Undershaft is gleaming with approval of their method.
And the Mansion House Fund went up next day from £30,000 to £79,000. I remember it quite well.
Well, won't you help me get at the people? They won't break windows then. Come here, Price. Let me show you to this gentleman.
Price comes to be inspected.
Do you remember the window breaking?
My old father thought it was the revolution, ma'am.
Would you break windows now?
Oh, no, ma'am. The windows of heaven have been opened to me. I know now that the rich man is a sinner, like myself.
Rummy appears above at the loft door.
Snobby Price!
What is it?
Your mother's asking for you at the other gate in Cripps's Lane. She's heard about your confession.
Price turns pale.
Go, Mr. Price, and pray with her.
You can go through the shelter, Snobby.
I couldn't face her now, ma'am, with all the weight of my sins fresh on me. Tell her she'll find her son at home, waiting for her in prayer.
Price skulks off through the gate, incidentally stealing the sovereign on his way out by picking up his cap from the drum.
You see how we take the anger and bitterness against you out of their hearts, Mr. Undershaft?
It is certainly most convenient and gratifying to all large employers of labor, Mrs. Baines.
Barbara, Jenny, I have good news. Most wonderful news.
Jenny runs to her.
My prayers have been answered. I told you they would, Jenny, didn't I?
Yes, yes.
Have we got enough money to keep the shelter open?
I hope we shall have enough to keep all the shelters open. Lord Saxmundham has promised us £5,000.
Hooray!
Glory!
If what?
If five other gentlemen will give £1,000 each to make it up to £10,000.
Who is Lord Saxmundham? I've never heard of him.
A new creation, my dear. You have heard of Sir Horace Bodger.
Bodger? Do you mean the distiller? Bodger's whiskey.
That is the man. He is one of the greatest of our public benefactors. He restored the cathedral at Hackington. They made him a baronet for that. He gave £500,000 to the funds of his party. They made him a baron for that.
What will they give him for £5,000?
There is nothing left to give him. So the £5,000, I should think, is to save his soul.
Heaven grant it may. Oh, Mr. Undershaft, you have some very rich friends. Can't you help us toward the other £5,000? We're going to hold a great meeting this afternoon at the Assembly Hall in the Mile End Road. If I could only announce that one gentleman had come forward to support Lord Saxmundham, others would follow. Don't you know somebody? Couldn't you? Wouldn't you? Oh, think of those poor people, Mr. Undershaft. Think of how much it means to them. And how little to a great man like you.
Mrs. Baines, you are irresistible. I can't disappoint you. And I can't deny myself the satisfaction of making Bodger pay up. You shall have your £5,000.
Thank God.
You don't thank me?
Oh, sir, don't try to be cynical. Don't be ashamed of being a good man. The Lord will bless you abundantly, and our prayers will be like a strong fortification round you all the days of your life. You will let me have the check to show at the meeting, won't you? Jenny, go in and fetch a pen and ink.
Jenny runs to the shelter door.
Do not disturb Miss Hill. I have a fountain pen.
Jenny halts. Undershaft sits at the table. Cousins rises to make more room for him. They all watch him silently as he writes the check.
What price salvation now?
Stop.
Undershaft stops writing. They all turn to Barbara in surprise.
Mrs. Baines, are you really going to take this money?
Why not, dear?
Why not? Do you know what my father is? Have you forgotten that Lord Saxmundham is Bodger the Whiskey Man? Do you remember how we implored the county council to stop him from writing Bodger's whiskey in letters of fire against the sky so that the poor drink-ruined creatures on the embankment could not wake up from their snatches of sleep without being reminded of their deadly thirst by that wicked sky sign? Do you know that the worst thing I have had to fight here is not the devil, but Bodger? Bodger! Bodger with his whiskey, his distilleries, and his tide houses! Are you going to make our shelter another tide house for him and ask me to keep it?
Rotten drunken whiskey it is, too.
Dear Barbara, Lord Saxmundham has a soul to be saved like any of us. If heaven has found the way to make a good use of his money, are we to set ourselves up against the answer to our prayers?
I know he has a soul to be saved. Let him come down here, and I'll do my best to help him to salvation. But he wants to send his check down to buy us and go on being as wicked as ever.
My dear Barbara, alcohol is a very necessary article. It heals the sick.
It does nothing of the sort.
Undershaft speaks with a reasonableness which Cousins alone perceives to be ironical.
Well, it assists the doctor. That is perhaps a less questionable way of putting it. It makes life bearable to millions of people who could not endure their existence if they were quite sober. It enables Parliament to do things at 11 at night that no sane person would do at 11 in the morning. Is it Bodger's fault that this inestimable gift is deplorably abused by less than 1% of the poor?
Undershaft turns again to the table, signs the check, and crosses it.
Barbara, will there be less drinking or more if all those poor souls we are saving come tomorrow and find the doors of our shelter shut in their faces? Lord Saxmundham gives us the money to stop drinking, to take his own business from him.
Pure self-sacrifice on Bodger's part, clearly. Bless dear Bodger.
Barbara almost breaks down as Adolphus too fails her. Undershaft tears out the check and, pocketing the book as he rises, goes past Cousins to Mrs. Baines.
I also, Mrs. Baines, may claim a little disinterestedness. Think of my business. Think of the widows and orphans, the men and lads torn to pieces with shrapnel and poisoned with lyddite.
Mrs. Baines shrinks. But he goes on remorselessly.
The oceans of blood, not one drop of which is shed in a really just cause. The ravaged crops, the peaceful peasants forced women and men to till their fields under the fire of opposing armies on pain of starvation. The bad blood of the fierce little cowards at home who egg on others to fight for the gratification of their national vanity. All this makes money for me. I am never richer. Never busier than when the papers are full of it. Well, it is your work to preach peace on earth and goodwill to men.
Mrs. Baines's face lights up again.
Every convert you make is a vote against war.
Her lips move in prayer.
Yet I give you this money to help you to hasten my own commercial ruin.
He gives her the check.